This is the sermon delivered on November 8, 2020 by Pastor Hon. The message title is Beyond the Prayer. Scripture passage is from Book of Daniel, chapter 10, verses 2 through 11. Let us read from Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 through 11. Verse 2. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Ufaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of a burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left, my face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Now Daniel was led by the Spirit within him and has been fasting and praying in grief for 3 weeks. For old Daniel of 90 years old, it was a suicidal act. Daniel had everything people would like to have: power, position, fortune. You wonder what makes him a fast to pray. Daniel could not help but pray. After 70 years, people of Israel were finally able to return to the homeland to restore Jerusalem and the temple to worship their God. But an unexpected interruption stopped the project. The returned people were in desperation, he heard. For Daniel, who waited for 70 years, but was not able to return to the homeland himself, the news was unbearably painful. Daniel was second to the king of Persia in the Middle East of his time. He could find a solution with his authority. However, what Daniel did first was to pray. For him, prayer was sure and most solid, more solid than any power, treasures, knowledge, or experience. He had an assurance that God's intervention is the surest thing. Daniel prayed not because he could not do anything else, but he was convinced that the only solution was to appeal to God, who was waiting for the prayer. It was not a suicidal act, but he prayed with the conviction that there is a survival way there. Daniel's attitude was what was missing in the Israelites who was destroyed. They listened to the authority, financial power, military power, and not to God. They listened to the false gods instead of true God. They listened to the words of fortune tellers by false spirits instead of the word of true God. They surrendered to human practices, traditions, or social structures instead of God. They were the chosen people, but as a result, they were destroyed. They had been taught many times that trusting in anything else but the Lord God was going to destroy them, but they cared about what they thought important instead of trusting in God. Consequently, their country was destroyed. Daniel knew such bitter experience, and now he had everything people would desire to have. But his first action was to pray. He did not want to repeat the same mistake, and he did not want to depend on what people envy for but God. He demonstrated that seeking God and His will was where his life lies. In another word, the Lord wanted to show reality of trusting in God through Daniel's life. Depending on the Lord is the true way of life, and that is where prosperity that God desires lies, which men cannot imagine. Lord God never gives up on His people. Man does, but God never does. This is why God never stops being involved with His people, and He fulfills His love. Because He loves, He strikes them. Because He loves, He allows them to go through painful experiences. When we face that, we become sorry, reproachful, regrettable, and hatred rises in our heart. We feel God should leave us alone. But God knows if He does, the situation will get worse, and He would not leave us alone. God can never be wrong. If we think God is wrong, it is because we do not know Him. Daniel, in the sermon last week, who was facing the situation where he could have said, "God, you're wrong," still prayed. It is not God who was wrong. Daniel knew that we feel God must be wrong because we do not know God's thoughts. This is why Daniel cut his lifeline to pray in order to sustain his spiritual life. Daniel, in the passage we just read, was standing on the bank of Tigris River, which was the base of a Mesopotamian civilization. Maybe he wanted to release or change the suffering mood of fasting and prayer. He came to Tigris River with his servants. There he saw a vision. Daniel chapter 10, verses 4 through 9. Verse 4, "On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uhas around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like a gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude." Daniel was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground." So here, a man appeared in front of Daniel, who was dressed in linen, with a golden belt in his waist, the body like topaz, the face like lightning, the eyes like flaming torches, the arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the voice like the sound of a multitude. When we read the characteristics of this man who appeared in front of Daniel, it resembles the form of Lord Jesus in heaven described in Revelation chapter 1. Let us look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. Verse 13. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like a bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later." Lord Jesus that John met in this chapter, and the man Daniel met in his visions, are alike. On top of that, both John and Daniel fainted as though dead, and they were powerless when they met Jesus or the man at Tigris River. The man who appeared to Daniel on the bank of Tigris River, who was fasting to pray, was surely Lord Jesus. The linen dress and the golden belt represented high priest who bridged between God and man, and they also represented that he was the king of all creatures. The face like lightning, the body like topaz, and the arms and legs like burnished bronze represented majesty and dignity. The eyes like flaming torch represented insightfulness to discern the eternity. The voice like the sound of multitude represented the spoken word being full of life, power, sharpness, and discernment. Daniel was the only one there who could recognize Jesus who appeared in the vision. Servants who were with him felt something superior appeared, and that something beyond imagination was happening, but they were overwhelmed by the fear and they all fled. No one could understand the appearance of Lord Jesus. It was only Daniel who recognized the reality and the true nature of Jesus Christ. One thing that we can learn from here is that not everyone can find the value of Jesus Christ. Not everyone can find God's mystery in Jesus Christ, feel God's revelation, or understand His word. Let us look at John chapter 6, verses 66 through 71. Verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples, Jesus' disciples, turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Before this word of Jesus, he performed a miracle to feed 5,000 men and probably over 10,000 people, including women and children, with two pieces of fish and five loaves of bread to their satisfaction. Not only those who saw his miracle, but also those who heard the rumor about it, all came to Jesus. Jesus said, "I provided you with a meal, not because I wanted to show you that you will become rich if you believe in me, but I am the living bread that came down from heaven to give you eternal life. If you do not eat my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. If you do, you will have eternal life, and you will live forever." Many of his disciples and followers who heard him speaking this left him and no longer walked with him. They were willing to believe in Jesus for their physical prosperity, but they did not want to hear heaven or life with God's mission. So there were not many who recognized reality and the true nature of Jesus Christ. Even one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, were captured of his heart by the devil, and he could not recognize the true nature of Jesus and later betrayed Jesus. Many feel Jesus Christ was somewhat a great man, though they do not understand why. It does not mean everyone recognized the reality and the true nature of Lord Jesus and to choose to live with him. While those who recognize the reality and the true nature of Lord Jesus experience for 100% a feel of powerlessness before his majesty and glory, those who feel only something different in the greatness of Jesus flee from him because of fear. It was the same with the disciples who heard the word of Jesus, as well as those who were accompanying Daniel. Going back to Daniel chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7, "I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground." As we read in today's scripture passage, Daniel had nothing to feel intimidated about himself before anyone, because he had all the power, intelligence, and positions. However, when he recognized the reality and the true nature of Lord Jesus, he became powerless, and all the brilliant achievements he made in his life became of no value, and he fainted when he heard the voice of the Lord. All that man can be proud of is nothing before Lord Jesus. We sometimes experience this when we read the Bible alone. Sometimes we feel we are impressed by the word as if God was speaking just in front of us, and we bow down before him in tears. When we close our eyes to pray, sometimes we feel so sorry that we have no word to express to God but by tears. When we experience the reality and the true nature of Lord Jesus, everything looks of no value, and we are overwhelmed by his love. One question comes up to our mind though. God appeared to Moses, Isaiah, and Jeremiah to directly speak to them. Wouldn't it be much easier and simpler if God does the same to me, directly facing me and speaking to me? This is, in a sense, very dangerous. If we have had met God directly and heard Him directly, we would have ended up being fainted or worse. No one can stay calm in the direct presence of God. Apostle Paul, who met and heard Jesus directly on the way to Damascus, could not see or eat for 3 days. This is the reaction when we sinners face the direct presence of God. This is why the Bible and prayer are sufficient for us. This is why the Bible and the prayer are given to us. In addition, the mystery is the fact that the Holy Spirit God is living within us. Let us go back to the book of Daniel again. Daniel fainted, being overwhelmed by the presence of Lord Jesus, and there was a hand to help him stand up. Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. The one who is helping Daniel to stand up here is not Lord Jesus, but Angel Gabriel. In chapter 10, Lord Jesus and Angel Gabriel appear alternatively. And in verses 10 and 11, it is Gabriel. Angel Gabriel appeared in chapter 8 and 9, where he was sent by God to deliver the Lord's word to Daniel. He says in verse 11 of chapter 10, I have now been sent to you, and touches Daniel to stand up. Angels appear several times in the Bible. Angels are not the object to worship, but they are the servants of God who help Christians, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are not all angels and ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? The words spoken by Angel Gabriel to Daniel impressed our hearts. Daniel chapter 10, verse 11 again. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. The word, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, reveals that who Daniel is for God. Daniel was the one God particularly loved. What we learn from here is that God's interest is not how wonderful words and eloquent logic we use to pray, but who is praying. For parents, poor drawings of their children, like the drawing of their faces as a gift on Mother's Day or Father's Day, make them feel cry than the billion-dollar worth paintings. We do not feel like buying a product even when a super salesperson tries to convince us with smooth, persuasive words, but when our child appeals to us passionately, although he is illogical, emotional, impulsive, unreasonable, we might be somehow persuaded to buy it. Our child's logic is inconsistent, but somehow we understand what he wants to say. Why? Because he is our child. For God, what is important is not what to pray about, but who prays. It is not the matter of format, but whether or not we recognize that we are specially loved. This is why we have nothing to protest against God. We just pray to God, please help me, please help me. And God helps us. Why? Because Christians are God's children. God is interested not in the words we pray with, but who is speaking the words. Daniel was praying with pain, and Jesus told him what is most important. That is, Daniel, you are highly esteemed by me. Whether or not his prayer is heard is the secondary. Jesus told him what is beyond his dimension and more fundamental. It was to say, you are okay, I especially love you, and be in peace. What Daniel found beyond his dedicated prayer was Jesus himself and God's love. In addition, an answer given to the fundamental question of mankind, which is behind all the problems and anxiety. When we are tossed by the problems and anxieties and crushed by them, the answer to this fundamental question gives us a power, and Jesus knew it well. So let us dedicate ourselves to pray in peace. Beyond our prayer, wait for us Jesus himself, God's love, and the answer to the fundamental question. This answer becomes our power. Let us pray.